You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody, and you're listening to the Journey. This is the episode
that all of you have been waiting for.
I'm talking about every single listener who has ever thought about listening to a Star Trek Voyager podcast. They have asked this question: are you going to do an episode on Threshold? And the answer is a resounding yes, fans and haters of Threshold. Now, like I said last week, whether you hate it, whether you love it, you love talking about it, and so do we. We're going to have a fun episode today, and before we get really into it, I want to get some broad strokes on whether you liked it when you first saw it, and if you liked it when you watched it today. I completely forgot to introduce everybody.
You were on a roll!
You were going
I know,
so good!
It was good. I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me as always is...
Lori and...
Charlene.
Okay. So, Char, when you first saw it, what did you think of this episode?
Okay, way back when, in 1995, when this baby first aired, I thought, this is the craziest piece of whack I have ever seen air on national TV. This was a trip. And just to compare it from a then and now perspective to today, I just laugh at it. It's a piece of entertainment for me. Lori, what do you think?
Well, you know, I'm the newbie. So I saw this after watching TNG through two times, and that was so serious and sedate. And then this is the very first episode I ever watched of Voyager, and I thought, well, what is this crap? Like you said, what is this crap? And like you said, now I watch it and think, that's some hot mess, and I sure was dedicated to stick with it being the first thing I ever watched.
Hot I think that's mess. The first time. Yeah, I think that's the first time I've ever heard the episode described as a hot mess, but it's probably accurate.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
When I first saw this, I was in middle school at the time, and I remember riding the bus with a friend who lived in the neighborhood, and he was my Star Trek buddy, and we would discuss Voyager whenever it aired the morning after, and both of us were just completely stoked that this happened in this episode just because it was so weird. You know, it was young and it was in middle school, and I was like, oh man, he ripped out his tongue. Oh my God. You know, it's like, can you believe you saw that on Star Trek? You know, because that's how I talked in middle school. And
sure.
And I just remember thinking, okay, you know, that was an episode. I mean, it wasn't great, it wasn't bad, but it just happened. You know, I was whatever. And it wasn't until I became a member of the online community where I realized that there was just seething hatred for this episode. And I was just like, where is this coming from? I mean, I hate Prodigal Daughter from Deep Space Nine way more than Threshold. And so, yeah, that's my stance on it. I mean, but from an overall standpoint, I really want to talk about what this episode had effect on in terms of the rest of the series. I mean, did this change anything for us? You know, what did it change for Voyager? What did it change for the Voyager crew? I mean, Lori, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that this resonated throughout the series or really just resonated throughout the fans?
I think it was more the fans, really, to be honest. Since that was first for me, I mean, I could put that aside since that was the very first episode I watched. And I just started over from that point. So for me, when I came back to that episode, I thought, well, whatever. It's weird. I can overlook the craziness. But I think it's the fans. I don't really think it had... I don't think it affected anything, because you know how Voyager is. They don't remember anything they do.
So, this is true, especially season two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It blows my mind, because I think the one major thing that really upset me is that if they could figure out where... you know, Paris went, and then they had a cure to the evolution, you know, lizard-ish, lizard people thing. Why couldn't they just reproduce that go to Earth or go further and then say, okay, everybody gets an inoculation. You know, that was the, out of everything, out of all the bad science in it, that is the main thing where I was just like, why not just do that? But Char, what do you think?
That is the inherent flaw in this story. And we should probably mention, we're not going to talk about the specific places where this episode goes wrong. We all know that the science is bad and all that sort of stuff. Other places have done that extensively. And if you want a really good review of Threshold with those types of things discussed and then some, check out SF Debris. Mm-hmm. He does video reviews. He does Threshold in, I think, 4 parts. Most episodes get only 1. Threshold gets 4. He's very thorough about this one. Just check that out. All right. So, yeah, I totally agree. It's the fan reaction that's resonated. This episode itself, I think it's pretty forgettable in terms of the arc of Voyager in and of itself. I don't think it had a long-term effect on the characters because, quite frankly, it's never really mentioned again.
No.
Ever. By anybody. They don't try Warp 10 again. They are not talking about the lizard children that Janeway and Paris had. We're not going to discuss it at all. I think it's one of those things where they just wanted to tidily sweep it under the rug and move on.
I wanted them so bad to mention this when B'Elanna became pregnant. I wanted Janeway. I wanted Janeway to say, like, just kind of like, you know, like, you know, nudge her in the side and say, hey. I had kids with your man first. You know, just like.
That's just a little more polite than what I would have said.
Oh, God.
But, okay, so this episode is definitely one of the weirder episodes of Star Trek, even if you compare it to TOS days. Like, you know, there's you know, Spock's brain and the stalactite, you know, incident, whatever. You have all of that. But this is still weirder. This is just so way out of left field. And even some of the people involved in it, like with Robert Duncan McNeil, even he said, he's like, I just didn't get it. Like at the when he read the first draft, he said himself, he's like, they're trying to pack way too much into one episode, and I just couldn't wrap my brain around it. I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Sure.
And the one thing that really got me was the story idea for this episode came from Michael DeLuca, who was at the time the head of New Line Cinema. New Line Cinema, when I was living in Los Angeles, ran itself into the ground, and I'm wondering if there is any connection whatsoever. Yeah. I mean, I think New Line Cinema is coming back. I think they're coming back from bankruptcy, but I'm not quite sure. Somebody else will have to report on that. But I just know that I'm like, I wonder if Threshold was like the tip of the iceberg.
That was like, the tipping point.
I was wondering either that or did Threshold somehow largely contribute to them ramming into the ground?
I don't know. I don't think one episode of one TV show had that much pull on a major film production studio. I'm just saying that maybe this guy was in the wrong position. That's all I'm saying. Now, on top of that, since we're talking about Robert Duncan McNeil, I can say that I like parts of this episode. Now, I cannot say it's a good episode, but it doesn't mean I can't like specific aspects. And one of those aspects is Robert Duncan McNeil's performance. I think that gets looked over a lot. And Lori, you are a big Tom Paris and Robert Duncan McNeil fan. What do you think about his performance in this episode?
It was great. I mean, he gave it all he had. He took, especially when he had no tongue to talk with. I mean, who could do that? No, he was really, you could tell through all that makeup, he was really giving it all that he had. I mean, he squeezed all the juice he could out of those lines that he had.
nice choice of
Truly.
Words.
Truly.
There you go. Well,
now, yeah.
Now, what did the Ready Room say? He was acting his hearts out or something like that?
His hearts.
Yes, that is what we said. I was on that episode. I believe that's the episode title, if you want to look it up and listen to it.
Now, you mentioned the makeup, and I think you're definitely right that Robert Duncan McNeil definitely acted through the makeup, which a lot of people can't do, and you find that a lot with guest stars on Star Trek. Either they have the chops to do it or they aren't invited back. And Char, I'm a big Tom Paris fan. Do you think that this added to his character? Do you think that McNeil was able to use some of his past character to make it more believable. What do you think?
That's a really intriguing question. It's kind of hard to say just because they really do think, I think, they tied this episode in the series as a whole. But, you know, there is a lot of Tom Paris's character explored here. There is that whole scene between him and Janeway where he, and I don't necessarily like this scene, but he says, "This is my flight. Tom Paris is going to do something important someday." Well, you know what? When you're the son of an admiral, I think that people do kind of put you on a pedestal like that when you're growing up, and they expect you to do great, grand things, which I think is a part of why Tom became such a rebel and ended up winding up in prison, because it's hard to withstand that kind of pressure. It is pressure to be big and important and do something great and to be the son of an admiral and be an honorable person yourself, create your own legacy and live up to that. That's huge.
Yeah.
And you either do live up to that or you buckle. I think in Persistence of Vision, where Paris sees the vision of his father and he says, when the going gets tough, you crumble. And I think that was Tom succumbing to pressure in his life. But this was Tom in Threshold standing up to Janeway and saying, no, this is my moment. I want to take it. So there is that.
I'm a big Tom Paris fan. I don't know what it is about me and about what I like. Like in TNG, my favorite character is Riker. In Voyager, it's Tom Paris. In Enterprise, it's Trip. In Deep Space Nine, it's Sisko, you know. And I like the daring go-getters, the people, the test pilots, the people who will get into that cockpit and, you know, and try to basically just risk it all for the better good. And that's essentially what he was doing. I mean, he could have died in this flight. And I like that aspect of B'Elanna, Harry, and Tom working together and, you know, doing something that's never been done before. So I do like that aspect, but was it enough to save the episode?
Don't forget Neelix and his contribution there at the end.
Genius, Neelix, no less.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I want you to think about, Tristan, is the characters you mentioned, Riker, Trip, Paris, to me, they all seem like ordinary guys that we can all relate to doing extraordinary things in their jobs. And who doesn't love a hero like that?
Well, I guess I never really thought of it that way. I never really thought, hey, this is an ordinary guy. I always thought like this was the kind of the John Wayne of the ship. Like these are the guys that when they enter the room, you're going to listen. And, you know, they're the ladies' men. They're the ones who might have had a troubled past. They're the good flight. Like they are specifically good at something either mechanical or daring. Like Riker was a good flyer. Tom's a good flyer. Trip can break things apart and put them back together. And Sisko just kicks ass. And so
he is the Sisko.
he's the Sisko. And Paris, I think, is part of that. And he was much more boyish in it. Like you said, with the Admiral, he was much more juvenile because he's seen that way. He's just a troublemaker. But this was kind of, I feel like, one of his first steps into paving his own way. I thought you phrased that very well.
Oh, thank you. Well, okay, and, here's another consideration is, if there is a turning point that Tom takes in this episode, it is maybe toward more guiding his own life, taking control of his destiny, maturing a little bit. Because when we start the show, he is a little bit just kind of
a jackass.
Lady chasing. A little bit. He's kind of a self-centered, lady chasing jerk. A little bit. I mean, it's all about him. But then as the years go on, he decides to pursue a serious relationship with B'Elanna, and eventually they have a family. And so in that sense, he is becoming much more of an actualized person.
All of us are really talking a lot about Robert Duncan McNeil's performance and Tom Paris growing as a character. And I feel like we're focusing on very maybe not minor things for the character, but minor things of the episode. And I feel like we kind of have to do that because there's such negative reaction to this episode.
Right.
Besides Tom Paris, quote-unquote, growth, or Robert Duncan McNeil's performance, what did you guys like about the episode other than that? Like, Lori, what did you like besides anything non-Tom Paris related?
Well, I was thinking about that, trying to decide what was really good. And, I mean, like you said, you had to dig to really find what's good. But, like I said, this was the first time I'd ever seen this show. For me, for any TV show, it's about the characters. And I like the character moments. I had to really find the little things to make me stick with this. And I think I liked the doctor when Tom had come back and he was on the biobed and he screamed in his ear to wake him up. I thought that was really funny. And then yes. called him Your Majesty. I have to run some more tests on you. And I liked the fact that B'Elanna came running in and was so concerned about him and was so worried about him. And the way that the three of them worked together to work out this problem, even though Neelix is no genius by any stretch of the imagination to work on this issue, but they just let him join right in and fill him in, tell him all about it, and they let him sit there. And even though he didn't really solve the problem, he kind of led them to the answer that they needed for the problem. I don't know.
Can I correct you? Well, I don't want to correct you. I mean, I'm interrupting you now, but...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, they didn't let him join in. He butted in.
But they were nice to him. That's what I like. They were nice
come on.
To him.
They were nice. They were overly nice. They didn't have to let the chef in on the discussion.
Well, you asked me what I like.
He's the chef. Back to
the
galley.
Morale officer. He's a man of many hats.
There you go.
That's who he is.
There you go. And I
flew warp engines once. Maybe I can help you with this problem.
Hey, I will not have overt Neelix hate in this podcast.
I'm sorry, man, but
only
Neelix
subtle.
Really does annoy me in this episode.
Yeah. Yes. No. Lori has it. Only subtle hate. No.
Only subtle hate.
No overt
hate. That's
how about passive aggressive hate?
There you go.
That's fine.
There you
That's
go.
Fine.
Okay, I'll work on that.
I can't tell Char not to be passive aggressive. So.
But really, that's what kept me coming back. I would have just said, these people are freaks. I'm not really interested in the show. But that really, just the character performances is what brought me back, to be honest.
I'm with you, Lori. I mean, I really like those moments, especially when Tom was in sickbay. Like, I love the, here lies Tom Eugene Paris, beloved mutant.
Yes.
You know, like, I lost my virginity in that room, 17. Parents were away for the weekend. And,
yes.
of course, the doctor had the best quip. He's just like, I'll note that in your medical file.
Yeah.
Lost virginity, 17.
Yeah, I want to see that in his medical file now. Specific paragraph mentioning that.
That would have been an amazing Easter egg. Like later on, like seasons later, somebody pulls up Paris's medical file and it says lost virginity at 17.
Michael Okuda, if you ever listen to this, buddy, when you're making Voyager for Blu-ray, you know what to do.
Yes. Retcon that crap. Retcon it right now.
Do it. Yes. Yes. You guys have mentioned what I was going to add that I do like in this episode. There is great dialogue. There are some great lines in this episode, especially from the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, yes. Like Lori said with the wake up, Lieutenant. I mean, I think about that now. It's like, well, can you wake him? I want them to do that instead of a hypo spray. Like whenever I watched Enterprise afterwards, I was like, I wanted Phlox just to smack him to wake him up, or
yeah, he should have slapped him or something.
Yeah, and just no, like any doctor that like you know followed him, I just wanted to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so very doctor-esque.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
So I want to know what you guys have heard online or in person from other Star Trek fans about why people hate this episode. I mean, what has been the major complaint from other people? I mean, we've talked about what we don't like. We've talked about what we do like. I was on Reddit for about 2 years, and then I dropped it because it was filled with jackasses. and I dropped it like a bad habit, and it wasn't there until I found out that everyone hated Voyager, and everyone hated Threshold. Like that was the like if you liked Voyager on Reddit, you were the leper. Now that's not how everybody feels on like Twitter or Facebook or other social networks. It was just my experience on Reddit. And it wasn't until then I found out, whoa, there is a lot of hatred for it. And what I heard was mainly just lizard babies. It was always just came back to lizard babies. And I was like, is the lizard babies that 30 seconds, not even 30 seconds, 15 seconds of lizard babies, is that really enough to turn you away from the episode? But Char, what have you heard? What is your main complaint? Not your main complaint, but what have you heard from others?
I think the big one that I've heard from many places is the whole thing of, this is not evolution.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what happens when you evolve, because in order to evolve, there has to be adaptation to your circumstances at the time that happens over a course of millions of years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And many people, I think, rightfully say that humans would not evolve into lizards. That would be devolving in many cases.
Okay, we're not going to get into it, but technically evolution does not mean going forward. It just means change. So,
true,
so.
But how, like, shouldn't he have become a biobed then or something? Because those were his, that was his environment while he was hyper-evolving, was it not?
Well, okay, then you could say, to get out of the biobed, he got a little bit smaller. Because he became... So, bam, lawyered right there.
I guess. Yeah, the big thing that I heard was, this is such a steaming pile of crap because the science is off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other one was, where did this warp 10 rule come from? They did warp 13 and all good things on TNG, and they've done it. They've done this in other places. Where did this come from? Brandon Braga, you're just making this up.
Okay, I'm so glad that you mentioned all good things because... You know, that's the first thing you think about was, wait. Admiral Riker said, hey, warp 13. And so you just try, me and my good friend Jim Morehouse on Twitter, he's Enterprise Extra, we are huge Trek apologists. And I respect him for this. And I was trying to think, I was like, okay, how can I explain this? How can I explain this away? I was like, okay, well, warp 10... You know, is more of a theory, but like warp 11 is more like, it's just the next increment from 9. Like if you think about it, like warp 1 is the warp barrier, warp 10 is infinite velocity, but warp 11 is really just the next step past warp 9. I don't know. See, like it's just, you just start making stuff up and none of it makes sense, but of it makes sense as long as you have the, you know, whatever the producers want.
Sure.
Well, and I don't know. Even Brandon Braga has said, I really hate this episode myself. I wish I never would have written it. I think it's because he's gotten so much flack over the years.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Where he's just like, okay, this is embarrassing. I'm sorry. Can we please move on?
Yeah. I mean, it's done. You can't do anything about it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a part of Star Trek. It's a part of Voyager, whether you like it or not. And, yeah, that's why to this day I think there still are flame wars on things like the Trek BBS and on Reddit and, oh, gosh, where else? Everywhere else. Any place that you start.
Well, even on Twitter, like when I have the question of the day. Sometimes I have negative questions of the day. I'll be like, mm-hmm. you know, who was your least favorite character or what was your least favorite episode? And I don't really like doing those because I like to emphasize on the positive and people mm-hmm. having a good experience with Star Trek. But it's... Threshold is always the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
It is always like, well, at least it wasn't Threshold, or at least it didn't have some sort of lizard babies, you know? Like, it was always...
Yeah, okay.
I think it's become a part of our Star Trek zeitgeist to use Threshold as this end-all, be-all of everything that's horrible.
And you know what? Yeah. Okay, no, I don't think Threshold is it.
Mm-mm.
And maybe I am the apologist for this episode, because the more that I've watched it, my theory is this. I can let go of all of the horrible things, like the bad science and all the weird, twisted things that happen that we never mention again, like the lizard babies. I can watch it as a piece of entertainment and enjoy mm-hmm. it for what it is, where I can think of other episodes that I take much more seriously mm-hmm. than Threshold. And they are... horrible.
Yeah.
They are steaming piles of crap. They don't make sense either. But the difference is that I'm supposed to take that seriously, whereas Threshold, I know. Okay, don't take this very seriously.
Right. Right, yeah. It's entertainment. It's entertaining.
That's all it is. That's
yeah,
really
it is entertaining.
It is.
Whereas other episodes can be really boring or just downright horribly bad for whatever reason. Bad writing, bad acting, whatever. And sorry, Threshold is not the be-all, end-all.
No, and you shouldn't be watching Threshold like you're watching Far Beyond the Stars or Best of Both Worlds. You know, like it's you just can't do that. I mean, and nor would you watch. Okay, what's a ridiculous like TNG episode?
Sub Rosa.
Well, no, that's just a bad episode. See, that's not even entertaining.
Okay, you're looking
Shades
for ridiculous?
Of gray. Shades of Grey. It's crazy.
Okay, that's a good one, because a lot of people hate that episode, but a lot of people also, on the flip side, like to make fun of it. We do that a lot at Trek FM.
Yes, yes. Chris, you know, see Brian Jones on Twitter. He will make fun of Shades of Grey constantly. And I usually let that one slide because it was a clip show during the writer's strike,
sure.
So I don't even count that as an episode. I'm just like, yeah, this is just what they had to do. Anyway, I was trying to make an example. Like, there are certain episodes in every Star Trek series that are just either fun or entertaining or you're not supposed to take seriously, or that have bad science. This is not the first episode of a Star Trek show that had bad science. Okay, I'm going to say that again. This is not the first time we've seen bad science in Star Trek. And also, you see so many other sci-fi shows and movies that you can enjoy that have really bad science in that. I mean, like the show Fringe used to be a really good show, not so much right now, but all throughout all the episodes, the science is so bad. And mm-hmm. you look at some blockbuster movies, like a lot of people liked Armageddon. It made hundreds of millions of dollars. The science is horrible. And
sure.
you look at the movies that had really good science but didn't do too well, like Gattaca and Deep Impact. Both had fantastic science. Didn't do very well in the box office because they're not as entertaining. That we just have to make peace with it.
Right. Well, and here's the thing is I think a good science fiction show will, for the most part, balance those two things. You can be so scientifically accurate, but you can also be entertaining. Mm-hmm. I think Star Trek achieves that balance more often than not.
Absolutely.
But you are going to get a stinker here and there. It's going to swing way too far one way or the other. It just so happened that Threshold sacrificed science for entertainment, in my opinion.
Or what they thought was science, but I'm just going to leave it there.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to question Brennan Braga's understanding of certain scientific principles. Let's not go there.
No, let's not.
As we're all apologists of Star Trek, and we've all kind of affirmed that, at least with this episode. And
yeah.
But disregarding us apologizing for what's happened, what would you have liked to have seen happen? What would you have taken out? What would you have put in? Char, what would you have done?
Okay. I'm thinking if you go with the whole Warp 10 theory story idea, that's going to be your main story. Okay, fine. Go with that. I can buy that part. I think it's a really fascinating, interesting idea, and it's got a lot of potential. And because it does have that potential to get you home, it's perfect for Voyager because that is their big goal, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, explore this. This is fantastic. I think where it starts going wrong is toward the very end where Voyager finds Paris and Janeway only a mere 3 days away on that planet, and they have the lizard babies. Okay, I would totally take out the lizard babies because that is the twist where it's like, okay, did you really have to do that? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and of course, because it's not brought up again, I mean, I wish in a way there would have been some funny quips back and forth, just a teeny bit, once or twice throughout the run to references, but whatever. I would have taken that out. I think it's just that point. It's the tipping point for a lot of people where it's just too weird. And I would have instead put something in that explains why they cannot do this again, even though mm-hmm. we do know that they have to reverse the process.
Okay.
Because then it makes a heck of a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like figuring out why they can't do it again. That would have definitely appeased me when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I would probably keep the story the same. I would keep the dialogue the same, but I would just remove certain elements to kind of generalize it a little bit more. Like I wouldn't make it about Warp 10. I would just make it some sort of generic new way of propulsion. Like I would not like something like proto slipstream. You know, like we found this new way to do this, and so let's do that. So that way you take out the all good things, Warp 13, you know, whatever. So I'd remove that, but keep it the same with the shuttle and the engine tearing apart and everything like that. Keep that the same, but just change it from warp 10 to something else. And I would keep the mutation. I would, you know, have him turn into something, have him die, have him do everything, rip out his tongue, whatever, flake. But I wouldn't mention evolution. Just make it a generic mutation. And
yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. I wouldn't. I would have totally excluded that whole part too, because then we don't know what's going on. It's a mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
And it's still weird.
It takes out all. You can use pseudoscience, and that's okay. You don't have to. You take out the quote unquote real science. Don't use the word evolution, because that's all that evolution is. It's mutation, and then he just changes, and he changes. You can make him change into whatever you want, and say it's because of A, B, and C. He can still he can still kidnap Catherine.
Yeah.
And I do not have a big problem with the babies, but if since so many people did, hindsight is 20/20, so I would have taken them out. But I still would have done the kidnapping and the change. And then you're like, well, you know, we have enough so-and-so isotope to fix Paris and Janeway, but we don't have enough to fix the entire crew.
Sure. That would be cool.
So blah, blah, blah. That's what I would have done. Lori, how about you?
I think I would have just made it into a holodeck episode. No, I'm just kidding.
Make it about the doctor finding sentience or something like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think he went in the holodeck and created a lizard, and then I don't know.
We find out it's really from Earth.
Sure.
And they're more... no.
I have no clue. I liked what you said to make it more general and just not bring in all that science, because I think that's really what irritated people. I mean, people aren't dumb. You can look things like that up. And I mean, I looked it up and whatever, but just make it not so specifically scientific so as not to irritate the scientists that are really watching this.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
All right, well, before we wrap things up, I want to mention a few awesome people that left us 5-star iTunes reviews while we were doing our little holiday break. So I would like to specifically mention Covenstead, Big Money Grip, T. Bradford, and Captain Lee, all for their wonderful and detailed 5-star reviews on iTunes. We appreciate that very much, and we hope you continue to enjoy the show.
I really enjoyed this episode. I liked talking about Threshold, and I'm sure it'll come up again, but I'm just glad that we got this one out of the way, because people...
it was inevitable.
Yes, it was inevitable. It was going to happen. People kept asking me, are you going to do it? Are you going to talk about it? Would you dare touch it? And the answer is yes.
Heck yes. With gusto.
With gusto. And I try to do everything with gusto. He's a great guy. Now, the next thing that we're going to talk about, and we're going to do it with gusto, the same way that Neelix cooks with gusto, we're going to talk about Voyager's problem with needing supplies, it ranging from food to warp plasma to deuterium to the energy crisis to whatever. Just basically their needs for... quote-unquote stuff. So we're going to talk about that next week. I'm pretty excited. And also, you can message us online. You can find me at Twitter at The Insane Robin. Char, where can we find you?
You can find me at Oh The Profanity. And Lori, how about you?
You can find me at LoriS68.
Please talk to us. Talk to us about Star Trek. We love debating online, and we love talking about this, obviously. So until next week, this was To The Journey!
To the journey!